He studied the furthest reaches of space and time and from a wheelchair became one of the biggest stars in our galaxy. But Stephen Hawking, it turns out, was mortal after all. He died this morning at 76. He was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, when he was just 21, losing control over everything but one finger and those eyes, through which he saw things we couldn't then explain them to us in books like A Brief History of Time. He redefined how we understand black holes and gravity. He was also on The Simpsons. What a life. Laura Mersini Houghton is a cosmologist and theoretical physicist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and was a friend. So, Professor Laura, sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a loss for all of us, I think.
And remind us why. So many accomplishments. What would you put at the top of the list?
The top of the list, of course, would be Hawking radiation, the fact that black holes are not black, and that is probably biggest discovery, although there is a long list of contributions that he made to science. But on top of that, he also did great service to society by bringing science into the public eye. And at the same time, he took a very keen interest in politics and society. For example, this year, the last battle he fought and that he won was trying to protect the National Health Service in the UK. So I might have to disagree with you on the mortality part. He did start his career in science as a mere mortal, but I think we all agree that that career never ended.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned black holes and his 1974 thesis, black hole explosions. He explained particles could escape black holes, that they had heat. And he did apologize to science fiction fans, saying you can't, you know, travel to new places by jumping into them. So he had that way of sort of, you know, speaking to science fiction fans and elite academics. You mentioned his battle to keep the health service in Britain, which had helped him. How did you communicate with him, though? We know he used an electronic voice with an American accent, you know, only working at 15 words a minute. What was it like to converse with him?
That was the most special part of getting to know someone as special as Stephen, because he was capable of putting a whole difficult concept in just one sentence and with such clarity that it would take at least one paragraph to anyone else. So once, of course, you get past the initial intimidation of being in the presence of such a great scientist, then from then on it was not difficult communicating with him.
You mentioned, I think, some of his incorrigibleness. He ruffled feathers. Leonard Susskind of Stanford once called him the most infuriating person in the universe, to which Hawking grinned. Talk about that side of him.
Well, Stephen, of course, continued throughout his life to work on the problem of black holes and Hawking radiation. Even 2 years ago, we organized a conference together on this topic in Stockholm. And, of course, his doctor was very much against him traveling. But Stephen was pretty determined. And once he had set his mind into something, nobody could stop him. So this kind of strong-headedness made him a very, very special person.
Many of us have known people and loved people who've been lost to ALS. He lived so long with it. Did he explain why or how?
The closest I ever got to a more insider's understanding of this problem was when in this conference in Stockholm that we organized together, we were deciding what music to have at the banquet of the conference, and I suggested Beethoven's Opus 131, which is that part of Beethoven's contribution when he was completely deaf and blind, and Stephen smiled and he said, "No, we must have Opus 132," and that was very telling, because there is a very subtle difference between 131 and 132, and that lies in the combination of hopelessness of being victim to a certain disease in one hand, and that willpower that sees you victorious at the end independently.
Oh, wonderful. Laura Mersini Houghton, cosmologist, theoretical physicist, friend of the late Stephen Hawking. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
And we leave you with the words of Stephen Hawking.
I have spent my life traveling across the universe inside my mind. Through theoretical physics, I have sought to answer some of the great questions. But there are other challenges, other big questions which must be answered, and these will also need a new generation who are interested, engaged, and with an understanding of science. How will we feed an ever-growing population, provide clean water, generate renewable energy, prevent and cure disease, and slow down global climate change? I hope that science and technology will provide the answers to these questions, but it will take people, human beings with knowledge and understanding, to implement these solutions.
And the Beethoven, 132, not 131. Go further.